This is Holden Karnofsky doing an amateur read-through of my blog post, Spreading Messages to Help with the Most Important Century. In the Most Important Century series, I argued that the 21st century could be the most important century ever for humanity via the development of advanced AI systems that could dramatically speed up scientific and technological advancement, getting us more quickly than most people imagine to a deeply unfamiliar future. In this more recent series, I've been trying to help answer the question, so what? What can I do to help? So far, I've just been trying to build a picture of some of the major risks we might face, especially the risk of misaligned AI that could defeat all of humanity, what might be challenging about these risks, and why we might succeed anyway. Now I've finally gotten to the part where I can start laying out tangible ideas for how to help beyond the pretty lame suggestions I gave before over a year ago. This piece is about one broad way to help, spreading messages that ought to be more widely understood. One reason I think this topic is worth a whole piece is that practically everyone can help with spreading messages, at least some, via things like talking to friends, writing explanations of your own that will appeal to particular people, and yes, posting to Facebook and Twitter and all that. Call it slacktivism if you want, but I'd guess it can be a big deal. Many extremely important AI-related ideas are understood by vanishingly small numbers of people, and a bit more awareness could snowball. Especially because these topics often feel too weird for people to feel comfortable talking about, engaging in credible, reasonable ways could contribute to an overall background sense that it's okay to take these ideas seriously. And then there are a lot of potential readers who might have special opportunities to spread messages. Maybe they're professional communicators, journalists, bloggers, TV writers, novelists, TikTokers, etc. Maybe they're non-professionals who still have sizable audiences on Twitter and whatnot. Maybe they have unusual personal and professional networks, etc. Overall, the more you feel you are good at communicating with some important audience, even potentially a small one, the more this post is for you. That said, I'm not excited about blasting around hyper-simplified messages. As I hope this series has shown, the challenges that could lie ahead of us are complex and daunting. And shouting stuff like AI is the biggest deal ever, or AI development should be illegal, could do more harm than good, if only by associating important ideas with being annoying. Relatedly, I think it's generally not good enough to spread the most broad, relatable, and easy-to-agree-to version of each key idea, like AI systems could harm society. Some of the unintuitive details that I've gone into in the series are crucial. Instead, the gauntlet I'm throwing is, find ways to help people understand the core parts of the challenges we might face, in as much detail as is feasible. That is, the goal is to try to help people get to the point where they could maintain a reasonable position in a detailed back and forth, not just to get them to repeat a few words or nod along to a high-level take like AI safety is important. Now this is a lot harder than shouting AI is the biggest deal ever, but I think it's worth it, so I'm encouraging people to rise to the challenge and stretch their communication skills. In this piece, I will first outline some general challenges of this sort of message spreading. Then I'll go through some ideas I think it's risky to spread too far, at least in isolation. Then I'll go through some of the ideas I'd be most excited to see spread. And I'll finally talk a little bit about how to spread ideas, but that's mostly up to you. First section, challenges of AI-related messages. Here's a simplified story for how spreading messages could go badly. You're trying to convince your friend to care more about AI risk. You're planning to argue, A, AI could be really powerful and important within our lifetimes. B, building AI too quickly and incautiously could be dangerous. Your friend isn't going to care about B, the danger, if they aren't sold on some version of A, the importance, so you're starting with A. But unfortunately, A is easier to understand than B. So you end up convincing your friend of A, the importance, and not yet B, the danger. Your friend announces, aha, I see that AI could be tremendously powerful and important. I need to make sure that the people or the countries I like are first to build it, and your friend runs off to help build powerful AI as fast as possible. They'd chosen the competition frame, will the right or the wrong people build powerful AI first, over the caution frame, will we screw things up and all lose, because the competition frame is easier to understand. Why is this bad? See previous pieces on the importance of caution and not just competition. I also have an expanding box that you can click to get more details on the caution versus competition distinction, but I'm not going to go into it here. This has mostly been covered in previous pieces. Now, unfortunately, I've seen something like the story I just told play out in multiple significant instances. Unfortunately, I shouldn't give specific examples. I'm especially worried about this dynamic when it comes to people in and around governments, especially in national security communities, because I perceive governmental culture as particularly obsessed with staying ahead of other countries, thinking if AI is dangerous, we've got to build it first, comparatively uninterested in things that are dangerous for our country because they're dangerous for the whole world at once. Ideas like maybe we should worry a lot about pandemics, which I don't think have caught on great in the past or even in the present. I linked to a couple pieces in a footnote that are interesting pieces trying to sell policymakers on the idea that superiority is not synonymous with security. Those pieces are called Killer Apps and Technology Roulette. You could even argue, although I wouldn't agree, that to date, efforts to raise awareness about the dangers of AI have done more harm than good by bringing, you know, by getting people to go through the sequence I've just described, where they rush in to build AI as fast as possible. So it's tempting to simply give up on the whole endeavor, to stay away from message spreading entirely beyond people you know well and or are pretty sure will internalize the important details. But I think we can do better. This post is aimed at people who are good at communicating with at least some audience. This could be because of their skills or their relationships or some combination. In general, I'd expect to have more success with people who hear from you a lot because they're your friend, they follow you on Twitter, Substack, whatever, than with people you reach via some viral blast of memery. But maybe you're skilled enough to make the latter work too. That would be great. I'm asking people who are good at communicating to set themselves a high bar. The goal is to leave people understanding and being able to intelligently defend and or critique the key messages, not just to get people to repeat a few sentences about AI risk, and not just to pitch the most palatable, relatable version of the key ideas. Next section, messages that seem risky to spread in isolation. I got some pushback for leading with what messages not to spread. That's not really a best practice. You should tell people what to do first. But I think this is really important, so I'm leading with it anyway. So I'm going to start with a couple messages that I'd rather people didn't spread, or at least that I have mixed feelings about spreading in isolation. That is, without serious efforts to include some of the other messages I cover below. One risky category is messages that generically emphasize the importance and potential imminence of powerful AI. The reason for this is in the previous section. Many people seem to react to these ideas, especially when unaccompanied by some other key ones, with an attitude that we'd better build powerful AI as fast as possible before others do. If you're curious about why I wrote the Most Important Century series anyway, which is largely about importance and imminence of AI, I have a lot of my thinking on that in a footnote. I was selective with how I did outreach for that, I was careful with how I titled it, how I framed it, etc., but there's more in the footnote. Another risky category of messages is messages that emphasize that AI could be risky or dangerous, but without much effort to fill in how, or with an emphasis on easy-to-understand risks. Since when you say AI is dangerous, that tends to imply powerful and important, I think there are similar risks to the previous section. If people have a bad model of how and why AI could be risky or dangerous, and they're missing some of the key risks and difficulties, they might be too quick to later say things like, oh, it turns out this danger is less bad than I thought, let's go full speed ahead. In a previous piece, I give an example of misleading progress leading to premature dismissal of the risks. All right, now we've gotten to the section where I'm going to go through some messages that seem good to spread, important, helpful, and correct. First message. We should worry about conflict between misaligned AI and all humans. Unlike the messages discussed in the previous section, this one directly highlights why it might not be a good idea to rush forward with building artificial intelligence, very powerful artificial intelligence, oneself. The idea that an AI can harm the same humans who build it has very different implications from the idea that AI could be generically dangerous or powerful. The idea is less we'd better get there before others, and more there's a case for moving slowly and working together here. The idea that AI could be a problem for the same people who build it is common in fictional portrayals of AI, HAL 9000, Skynet, The Matrix, Ex Machina. Maybe too common. It seems to me that people tend to balk at the sci-fi feel, and what's needed is more recognition that this is a serious, real-world concern. The main pieces in my recent series, Making This Case, are a couple that I link to, Why Would AI Aim to Defeat Humanity and AI Could Defeat All of Us Combined. There are many other pieces on the alignment problem that I list at a link. Also see Matt Iglesias' case for specifically embracing the Skynet analogy from the Terminator movies. I'd be especially excited for people to spread messages that help others understand, at a mechanistic level, how and why AI systems could end up with dangerous goals of their own and deceptive behavior and things like that. I worry that by default, the concern sounds like lazy anthropomorphism, thinking of AIs just like humans. Transmitting ideas about the how and why is a lot harder than getting people to nod along to a sentence like AI could be dangerous. I think there's a lot of effort that can be put into simple, understandable, yet relatable metaphors, analogies, and examples. My pieces make some effort in this direction, but there's tons of room for more. Next good message. AIs could behave deceptively, so evidence of safety might be misleading. Little explanation of this message. I'm very worried about a sequence of events like this. First, as AI systems become more powerful, there are some concerning incidents and widespread concern about AI risk grows. But over time, AI systems are better trained. That is, they're given negative reinforcement for behaving in unintended ways, or something like that, and so the concerning incidents become less common. Because of this, concern dissipates, and it's widely believed that AI safety has been solved. But what's actually happened is that the better training has caused AI systems to behave deceptively, to appear benign in most situations, and to cause trouble only when A, this wouldn't be detected, or B, humans can be overpowered entirely, so it doesn't matter if it's detected. I worry about AI systems being deceptive in the same way a human might, going through chains of reasoning like, if I do X, I might get caught, but if I do Y, no one will notice until it's too late. It can be hard to get this kind of concern taken seriously, because it means attributing behavior to AI systems that we currently associate exclusively with humans. Today's AI systems don't really do things like this. I'm a footnote to a couple papers arguing that they do something like this, but I think not really that much yet. One of the central things I've tried to spell out in this series is why an AI system might engage in this sort of systematic deception, despite being very unlike humans and not necessarily having emotions. It's a major focus of both of the pieces from this series, Why Would AI Aim to Defeat Humanity, which is a piece I linked to, and AI Safety Seems Hard to Measure. Also, probably going to put it in an expandable box, elaborating more on how this could happen, why it could be so misleading and hard to measure whether an AI system is safe. Whether this point is widely understood seems quite crucial to me. We might end up in a situation where there are big commercial and military incentives to rush ahead with AI development, and we have what seems like a set of reassuring experiments and observations. At that point, it could be key whether people are asking tough questions about the many ways in which evidence of AI safety could be misleading, which I discussed at length in the AI Safety Seems Hard to Measure piece. All right, next message that's good to spread. AI projects should establish and demonstrate safety and potentially comply with safety standards before deploying powerful systems. I've written about the benefits we might get from safety standards, commitments enforced via self-regulation at first and potentially government regulation later, that AI labs won't build and deploy systems that pose too much risk to the world, as evaluated by a systematic evaluation regime. Today, development of safety standards is in its infancy. But over time, I think it could matter a lot how much pressure AI projects are under to meet safety standards. And I think it's not too early today to start spreading the message that AI projects should not unilaterally decide to put potentially dangerous systems out in the world. The burden should be on them to demonstrate and establish safety before doing so. I'll probably put it in an expandable box with a bit more detail on what I mean by safety standards, how they could be established, etc., which I've covered in previous pieces. Next good message. Alignment research is pro-social and great. Most people reading this can't go and become groundbreaking researchers on AI alignment, but they can contribute to a general sense that the people who can do this mostly should. Today, my sense is that most science jobs are pretty prestigious and seen as good for society. I have pretty mixed feelings about this. I think science has been good for humanity historically, but I worry that as technology becomes more and more powerful, there's a growing risk of a catastrophe, particularly via AI or bioweapons, that could wipe out all the progress to date and then some. I think our current era would be a nice time to adopt an attitude of proceed with caution rather than full speed ahead. I resonate with Toby Ord's comment in the book The Precipice that says, humanity is akin to an adolescent, with rapidly developing physical abilities, lagging wisdom and self-control, little thought for its long-term future, and an unhealthy appetite for risk. I wish there were more effort, generally, to distinguish between especially dangerous science and especially beneficial science. AI alignment seems squarely in the latter category. I'd be especially excited for people to spread messages that give a sense of the specifics of different AI alignment research paths, how they might help or fail, and what's scientifically and intellectually interesting, not just useful, about them, because people care about both, especially researchers. The main relevant piece in this series is High-Level Hopes for AI Alignment, which distills a longer piece that I posted on the Alignment Forum, not Cold Takes. I should also note, as long as I'm here, that a future piece in this series, probably in a couple weeks, will list a bunch of jobs that I think people can take to help in the most important century, and so there could be parallel messages to this one, you know, generally spreading the idea that particular jobs are particularly helpful, and one of the big ones might be working on information security, so helping companies keep dangerous information safe. I think this is an underdone job, and I'll be going more into it in the future. Next good message. It might be important for companies and other institutions to act in unusual ways. In a piece called Racing Through a Minefield, the AI Deployment Problem, I wrote, a lot of the most helpful actions might be out of the ordinary. When racing through a minefield, I hope key actors like AI companies and governments will, first, put more effort into alignment, threat assessment, and security than is required by commercial incentives. Second, consider measures for avoiding races and global monitoring that could be very unusual, even unprecedented. And third, do all of this in the possible presence of ambiguous, confusing information about the risks. It always makes me sweat when I'm talking to someone from an AI company, and they seem to think that commercial success and benefiting humanity are roughly the same goal or the same idea. I'm quite nervous about a world in which most people stick with paradigms they know. Companies should focus on shareholder value, government should focus on its own citizens rather than global risks, etc. And then, as the pace of progress accelerates, we're sitting here with all kinds of laws, norms, and institutions that aren't designed for the problems we're facing and cannot adapt in time. A good example would be the way governance works for a standard company. It's legally and structurally obligated to be entirely focused on benefiting its shareholders rather than humanity as a whole. There are alternative ways of setting up a company without those problems. And I explained a footnote. At a minimum, as I argued in a previous piece, I think AI companies should be making sure they have whatever unusual governance setups they need in order to prioritize benefits to humanity, not returns to shareholders when the stakes get high. I think we'd see more of this if more people believed something like, it might be important for companies and other institutions to act in unusual ways. Final good message. We're not ready for this. If we're in the most important century, there's likely to be a vast set of potential challenges ahead of us, most of which have gotten very little attention. If it were possible to slow everything down, by default, I'd think we should. Barring that, I'd at least like to see people generally approaching the topic of AI with a general attitude along the lines of, we're dealing with something really big here, and we should be trying really hard to be careful and humble and thoughtful, as opposed to something like, the science is so interesting, let's go for it, or this is awesome, we're going to get rich, or whatever, who cares? I'll re-excerpt this table from an earlier piece. It's just saying the situation is, this could be a billion-dollar company, the appropriate reaction is, woohoo, let's go for it. But if the situation is, this could be the most important century, maybe the appropriate reaction is more like, oh wow, I don't know what to say, and I somewhat want to vomit. I have to sit down and think about this one. I'm not at all sure about this, but one potential way to spread this message, we're not ready for this, might be to communicate with as much scientific realism, detail, and believability as possible about what the world might look like after explosive scientific and technological advancement brought on by AI. For example, a world with digital people, which I've written about previously. I think the enormous unfamiliarity of some of the issues such a world might face and the vast possibilities for utopia or dystopia might encourage an attitude of not wanting to rush forward. Next section. How to spread messages like these. I've tried to write a series that explains the key issues to careful readers, hopefully better equipping them to spread helpful messages. From here, individual communicators need to think about the audiences they know and the mediums they use, Twitter, Facebook, essays, newsletters, blog posts, video, in-person conversation, and what will be effective with those audiences and mediums. Here are the main guidelines I want to advocate. First, err towards sustained, repeated, relationship-based communication, as opposed to prioritizing viral blasts, unless you're so good at the latter that you feel excited to spread the pretty subtle ideas in this piece that way. Second, aim high. Try for the difficult goal of, my audience walks away really understanding key points, rather than the easier goal of, my audience has hit the like button for a sort of related idea. Third, a consistent piece of feedback I've gotten on my writing is that making things as concrete as possible is helpful. Giving real-world examples of problems analogous to the ones we're worried about, or simple analogies that are easy to imagine and remember, could be key. But it's important to choose these carefully so the key dynamics are not lost.